What a great weekend. I stayed up last night. I tried to go to a football game last night. I tried to buy a ticket to a Michigan game last night. $200 for student section tickets last night. Up to, if you wanted to sit somewhere on the sidelines, it was like $500 on up. I said, I'm going to watch it on TV. How many of you, did any of you stay up and watch that thing last night? I got to tell you, it was an interesting game. I could use some coffee. Yeah, how about them Tigers? Now, see, now we're going to get into, here we go. Here we go. How about Michigan State? How about, there we go. You know, I could use a cup. If I drank coffee, I would get a cup of coffee this morning, but I don't drink coffee. I just have never been able to acquire taste. I heard about a little boy that wanted to surprise his grandmother. He got a cup of coffee. He made a cup of coffee, this little boy. And I don't know if you heard about him. And he makes this up. He was so excited. He said, "Grandma, I made you some coffee." She was surprised. She was really. And it was the worst coffee she ever drank in her entire life. And she started drinking it down, though. And she drank it down. She got down to the last bit. And she finished it off. And she looked and she noticed there were little army men in there. Three little army men in the bottom of her coffee. And she was drinking that. And she said, "Sonny," you know, to her grandson, she says, "I love you, but what is this?" And he says, "Grandma, it's like they always say." And she said, "What do they always say?" He says, you know, the best part of waking up are soldiers in your cup." I had to. I had to say it this morning as we think about our soldiers. People talk about epic. Last night I heard my son, and probably pretty close, he said, "That was probably an epic game last night. The Tigers are having an epic season." I hear people say this, "That was an epic meal," or "That was an epic movie." Can I just say something? Don't steal a great word. People have taken awesome and stolen that. You know, listen, spaghetti is not awesome, okay? It's good, but it is not the sum of my awe. It doesn't take the breath out of my chest. God is awesome, David writes in the Psalms, okay? Now, God can take the breath out of my chest. Amen? Now, he is awesome. Listen, don't take the word epic. I told you this week I'm going to start. I want to talk to the men, okay? And for the next few weeks, ladies, listen up. But men, this is for you. And if you don't relate to it, I just want to say this. In a few weeks, I'm going to invite the men, and I'm not sure what month it'll be, but I'm going to invite you men to get together because here it is. I think epic, the word epic, it means heroic proportion. Okay? So just keep that in your mind. I think we need to be living an epic life. That's the name of the series. But men, I want to talk to you eventually, because there's some things I want to talk to you about, because I think men are having that stolen out of their lives, and no wonder why they're so bored in life, especially so bored in church. I think we need to be epic and live an epic life. So let me say this. I said it last week. I'm going to make the announcement now. I think one of the biggest epic things that steals our joy, gentlemen, is our sexuality. I want to talk to men. Everywhere I go, it has become such an issue. Whether it's a congregational or if I'll go speak somewhere in the country, I'll have youth pastors and pastors come up to me and say, "I need 5 minutes with you. What do we need to talk about?" They say, "I don't know who to talk to. There's no one I can talk to. But I'm so addicted and so struggling." Or I'll have guys talk to me about their marriage, and they'll talk about how everything has fallen apart, and that is such a big part. I'm going to invite men. There's no sign up. I don't want your name on anything. This isn't a judgment thing, but I think we need to restore a man's intimacy. And guys, you ought to be the best lovers that you can be. In fact, since God invented it, you ought to be off the charts. You ought to get gold medals for it instead of struggling with these things. And so I'm going to invite the men to a night out, okay? That's on its way. I said last week I'd make that announcement. I'll stop there for the children involved and let you know more's on its way. But this morning, I want to talk about this epic life. I want to talk about being epic. In fact, when I think of the word epic, I got to say, with 2 minutes left, when Denard Robinson last night drove the ball down and scored a touchdown, and I thought, you got to be kidding me, they're going to win this. They're not that good of a team, but what an amazing drive. And then Notre Dame came down, and with a minute and 12, on the clock and scored with 30 seconds left. I said, just like Michigan. It's going to ruin my night. I won't be able to preach in the morning. The next 30 seconds could have been epic as they went down 80 yards and scored a touchdown to win the game with 2 seconds left. That was an amazing time. It wasn't epic, though. Let me show you something that is epic. Boys, if you'll bring up this picture for me, I want to show you something. It's just a photograph. Today I want to talk to you about man's best friend. Man's best friend. Can you see that? Let's this side. We need to maybe kill these house lights on this side. Can you see what this is? That dog right there is from Iowa. I lived in Iowa for a long time. Iowa stands for idiots out wandering around. That's what they told me. I didn't come up with that. This dog's name is Hawkeye for the Iowa Hawkeyes. That dog, this is August 19th, my birthday this year, just a few weeks ago. That dog was brought in. The congregation, or the place here, has about 1,000 people in it. And the gentleman that's in that casket, Navy Team SEAL 6, Navy SEAL Team 6, his name is John Tumlinson. He was killed on August 6th when their helicopter was attacked and blown up, and we lost 30 of our finest. His dog went right up in the middle of, in this service, went up and laid down right by his casket and didn't leave, just laid there. I'm sure he had some kind of scent. It's an amazing. You want to know what's epic to me? That is epic to me. There's a hero there. And even a dog knows it. There are heroes in this world. You go ahead and bring the lights up, gentlemen. Thank you. There are heroes in this world, and we ought to know it. Gentlemen, every one of you men in this place, God has made you to be a hero. God has made an epic life for every one of you. And the thing is, if we live in anything short, we have been robbed by Satan. We have been robbed by this world. We need to be epic in our lives. And this morning, I just want to share with you, it's 9/11, 10 years later, but I want you to know, there are people who are heroes, and there are heroic things happening every day in this country. Some of them happen on the news. Most of them happen in your homes. Most of them happen, and nobody sees it. The Apostle Paul writes about these epic things. You know what I wanted to be when I grew up? I wanted to be a hero. Didn't you guys want to be a hero? I grew up with this is going to date myself. I know you only think I'm probably 35, 34, 29. You can't hardly believe I'm 63. When I was a kid, I used to watch something called Emergency 51 with Johnny Gage and Roy DeSoto. Some of you remember that. Yeah, I can hear that. Nobody wanted to be Roy. Roy was boring. Johnny was the hero. And I wanted to be Johnny, but my best friend's name was Johnny, and he was always Johnny. I wanted to be a fireman. I thought that would be the coolest thing. And you know what else I wanted to be back in the sandbox in my backyard with about 1,000 army men? I wanted to be an army man. You know what else I wanted to be when I was a kid? My dad rode a Harley motorcycle. He was Chips, California Highway, but he wasn't California Highway Patrol. He was a city cop, but he rode a Harley motorcycle with his partner. He was a police officer. I wanted to be a police officer. I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to be a baseball player and hit the home run in the bottom of the ninth like the Tigers. I wanted to be all those things because all of us as little boys want to be a hero. And I want you to know today, and I borrowed this from different men in our church, these all are uniforms that have been worn and are worn but currently by men in our church. We have heroes in our church. These men represent to me the ideal of what a guy should be. Every guy wants to be a hero. We have police officers who daily serve and put their life on the line to protect and to serve you and I. Every day we have firefighters who are willing to run into burning buildings when you and I are running out of burning buildings, and they protect our lives. Every day we have guys and soldiers who stand at a post every day, and they get shot at so that we don't get shot at. I want to be a hero. I want to be a hero. Do you know there are burning buildings? The Apostle Paul talks about this. He talks about those burning buildings. Do you know why we all want to be this? Because that's the way, gentlemen, God made us to be heroes. You see, when God made Adam, what's amazing, everybody thinks, well, God made this, took the dirt, and he kind of formed this man, and he's standing there in this Garden of Eden. Can I tell you something? That's not where he made him. God made Adam in the wilderness, and he placed him in the Garden of Eden. He made him in the wilderness. He made him with a wild heart, not a wild, bad heart. He made him with an adventurous heart. He made him with a sense of, oh, he made him with a sense of heroism. He made him to have an epic life. And when he bit into that apple, when he bit into that fruit, and he took a hold of that thing, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, the entire storyline goes along as he's eating this thing after he's created. He's in the garden. He eats this thing. God comes along. He says, what have you done? And I love what he said. His heroism was gone. He's standing there. God is standing before him and says, what have you done? He said, it wasn't my fault. The woman you gave me made me do it. And no longer was he a hero. He threw his wife under the bus. And listen, men have been throwing their women under the bus ever since. I'm not saying you do. I'm just saying we live in a world where women are discarded and they're blamed for things that they shouldn't be blamed for. Gentlemen, you want to be a hero? Step up and be a hero in your home. Listen, it might be her fault, but jump under the bus instead of throwing her under the bus. Stand in front. Stand up. Stand aside. Do something. But he ought to have looked at Satan right in the eye and said, excuse me, are you talking to my woman? You don't have permission. You didn't even knock on the door. Why are you talking to Eve? You talk to me. You leave her alone. Men ought to step up. Nobody talks to your woman. Men, we are made to be heroes. And God looked at Adam and he said this in the book of Genesis chapter 3. He said, from now on, the Lord said, from now on, you will be cursed. And you, by the sweat of your brow, will work the thorns of the field and you will try to get a harvest back. You know what God was saying? He said, gentlemen, your identity of who you are will be based in what you do. You will spend the rest of your life trying to do something epic to satisfy God and to have peace again in your life. No wonder why we grow up wanting to do these things, because God has placed them in our hearts. And so we get up and we go to jobs that we don't see the heroism. We get up and we live in a marriage or in a home where we don't see the heroism. Here it is. We go to church. Let me give you 2 points about being a hero before I say we go to church. I'm about to say something. Number one, and if you want to write this down, you can. Here it is. Heroes, we go up when the world is going down. We go up when the world is going down. Let me say that again. We go up when the world is going down. There you go. We go up when the world is going down. You know why we do it? I want to bring up a scripture. Guys, can you bring this up for me? Can you find Psalm 85:10? Grab that and you need to bring that up. Because when we go up, when the world is going down, I heard an incredible story that I never knew. His name? I think it's Billy. I heard him on the radio and I tried to look it up. He's a fireman. And I did find a fireman named Billy who survived. Do you know in the North Tower, when that thing collapsed, between the fourth and the sixth floor, there were 16 people who lived. Did you know there were people who lived in the tower when it pancaked 100 floors on top of them? 16 people survived that. And this one fireman survived, and they were interviewing him, and they said, were you afraid? Were you thinking about your family, your wife, and your kids? And they said, he said this, you know what? Actually, I wasn't. I had a complete peace. I had this overwhelming peace in my soul. I thought, how in the world? And they asked me, how did you? He said, I don't know. I just had a peace. Because we go up when the world goes down. Have you got that Psalm 85:10? Bring that up. Here's why he had a peace. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Wow. Righteousness and peace. See, when we do the right things in our lives, gentlemen, when we're being righteous, doing the right thing, listen, peace is right there with us. That man had peace in his life because you can sleep at night when you're doing righteous things. I'm telling you what, they're just right there kissing each other all the time. I want to have righteousness and peace in my life. How can I have peace? I have righteousness. I'm going to be a hero. I'm always going to go up when the world says go down. When somebody says, let's go party, I'm going to say, no, I'm going to go pray. When the world says, let's go get wasted, I'm going to say, no, I think that's the time I'm going to get in the Word. When the world says, let's do something wrong and cheat and steal, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go up while the world goes down. We need heroes. And you know what God does? In the midst of that, God shows us something epic. 16 people walked out of that rubble. Can you believe that? 16 people. I mean, that's a miracle. That is from the dead. That is just like the story I read. And some women got back there dead. I tell you, I'm ready for an epic life. I want to live an epic life. Can I tell you who was tragically missing today from the ceremony? I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, it's got to be one of those, you know, those Snopes things. It's an urban legend. I heard that firefighters and police officers weren't invited to the 9/11 ceremony today. I looked it up. It's actually true. They said, you know, this is just for families of victims. Today, listen, we'll do something on another day at another location. And I thought, wow, they're not invited? Guess what? I'll tell you when another time they weren't invited. On 9/11, 2001, they weren't invited either, but they showed up. I want you to know something. In this world, you may not be invited, but you still show up because that's what you do. And 343 firemen showed up and gave their lives on that day. Listen, 27 police officers showed up and gave their life that day. And Port Authority men showed up and gave their life that day. Listen, they weren't invited, but you know what heroes do? We go up when the world goes down. I may not be invited. Listen, your house is on fire, and I may not be invited into your house, but I'm going to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to your world anyway. I may not be invited with the message that Jesus Christ reigns, and Jesus Christ is the hope, and Jesus Christ is the way in this world. Oh, keep your Jesus to yourself. Listen, I know I'm not invited in this world, but listen to me. I'm showing up anyway, and I've got my squirt gun in hand. I'm attacking the flames of hell. I don't care. I don't want to live in the church. I want to live in the world. I'm not invited. That's okay. Listen, I was watching. Listen, I'm going up while the world's going. I was watching the news the other day. Have you seen the new flash mob stuff going on? In Philadelphia, they went into a little convenience store. They flash mobbed it on the social media network, and 100 inner city kids went into, in 30 seconds, grabbed everything they could, and just walked out of this convenience store. It's a new trend. And I was watching the commentator, and he said, it came back to him, and his face was stunned, and he just went, how did we get here? I have the answer. And I'm sitting in my living room, and I said, 1968, that's how we got here. In 1968, we said, God, we don't want you anymore. You're not invited. And in 1968, we told God he's not invited. And guess what happens when we tell God he's not invited? He doesn't show up. But we do. By the Holy Spirit, we show up. So God's not showing up. He's just not invited. We said, in every public school, in every public place, in every courthouse, in any place, you take those Ten Commandments and you take prayer and don't do it. In fact, you know who else wasn't invited today? It's clergy. And I read the quote from the mayor of New York City. We don't want to offend anyone, so we don't know which clergy to have show up. If we should have an imam, a Buddhist monk, or a pastor. Even though we're not invited, guess what? We're still praying. I may not be invited, but I'm still showing. But listen, when those people walked in and they grabbed all that stuff, it didn't surprise me. I don't know why he would say, well, how did we get here? Well, I can tell you how we got here. When the eighth commandment of the Ten Commandments came off the wall in 68 of every classroom, are you surprised when students don't understand, thou shalt not steal? Well, there's a big surprise. Or thou shalt not commit murder. Or how about this, the fifth commandment, when kids are rebelling like we've never seen ever, and the attitude is so lax towards parents, the parents are in KPEC being murdered by kids who are putting hits out on them a few months ago. Well, guess what? The fifth commandment says, honor your mother and your father. Well, no, we don't want to do that. God, you're not invited. I want you to know something, heroes. Every one of you are invited to the party. Every one of you have the Ten Commandments. Every one of you have the Word of God. We go up while the world goes down. And we save as many as we can in the building. I know I'm not invited to your house. But as long as you're in my house, I want you to know you are invited to take the good news of Jesus Christ. There's hope in this world. There's one who cares. There's one who sticks closer than a brother. There's one who's given his life for you. He went to the ultimate sacrifice on a cross and said, guess what? I still care, and he still rescues, and he still saves. So we go up while the world goes down. I want you to know that. The second one is this. It's just 2 points. We go up while they go down. The last one is this. We remember while the world forgets. We remember while the world forgets. I don't think we quite understand in church. Men, here it is. Men, this is for you. So if you're a man in here, you can kind of just tap yourself and say, oh, this is for me, okay? Help me out. Just tap yourself. Say, this is for me. If you're not helping yourself out here, we need to stop inviting men to a pew. Start inviting men to a purpose. I think most men ask this question, what's the big deal if I go to church or not? I think most men, not all men, I think most men ask this question, what difference does it make whether I was in church on Sunday morning, or whether I was at home, or whether I was at the Lions game, or whether I was at the beach? What difference does it make if I was in church on Sunday morning? Because you're not invited to a pew. You're invited to a purpose. The reason that you're here is to gather all the warriors, all the men who want to live an epic life. And I'm inviting you, I'm pleading with you, I'm begging with you to join me in this world, to stand up for what's right. I'm inviting you to rally the men together, and at least we could say hoorah today. Oh, that, I don't even... That was... I wasn't looking for that, but the first thing I saw on my son's Facebook this morning, he's living in Grand Rapids, going to college right now, was thank you to all the men and women who sacrificed, my brothers in arms. He's in the 785th still in the reserves, and the first thing he said this morning is hoorah to the men who serve alongside. So you know what I say to you? If you guys want to try that, men, I say to you, why do I get together every Sunday morning? Because I want to get together and say side by side and shoulder to shoulder. You know why they make football stadiums and baseball stadiums? You know why they make the seats this way? Because men don't want to sit in circles and talk about how they feel about the game. They want to watch the game. Don't interrupt me unless we're high-fiving. Now, if you want to make your coffee houses in circles, go ahead and do it, ladies. But men like to sit shoulder to shoulder and watch the game. And today I say to you, men, sit shoulder to shoulder, join together. And the reason you're here today is to say, hoorah! Thank you. It's time that we as men look at this and say, not only when we go up, when the world goes down, but we remember when the world forgets. You see, God didn't save you to sit in a pew. God help us if all he did was save my soul, deliver me from sin, go to hell for 3 days in that grave, grab the keys right out of the hands of Satan, walk up out of that tomb, walk into town and say, look what happened, boys. I'm wide awake, I'm alive and well, and I got the keys of death. I didn't save you to sit in a chair on Sunday morning. If that's all you got yourself one fine religion, but you got yourself no power, no glory, and no epic life. You will go home the same person. You will go home and do the same thing that you did yesterday. You'll have the same addictions, the same fights, the same struggles, and you will not see victory in life. Or you can gather together as men, sharpen your sword today, get the Word of God, step out of this place, put it in your heart, and start living what this Word says. It says that they were sawed in two, they were tortured, they were filleted, they were chained, they were imprisoned, they were fed to lions. When's the last time I even had anybody say, you know what, I really don't even like the way you're living? It probably won't happen. We ought to step up and say, it's time for an epic life. That's why God made me. Oh, I got to get a breath in here somewhere. Guys, I need you to pull up one more scripture for me. 2 Peter 3:1 through 9. I want you to see this. I'll close with this. That is one of the most... I have a black Labrador retriever. He is my dog. He is loyal. He is faithful. I can pound him for being disobedient. And 2 seconds later, he is licking my face because I am his absolute best friend. He holds no grudges. He has no fear. He does whatever I ask him to do. And even when I treat him bad, he's there. That is epic. I wonder if God would allow that in my life. That no matter what happens in my life, no matter how I feel, no matter what kind of day it is, I will still climb up in his lap, grab a hold of him and say, I still love you and am loyal and faithful to you as I possibly can be. Look at this scripture. I think we forget. I think this morning might be a reminder at 9/11 of those wonderful heroes that ran up the building, of our soldiers who went into Iraq in Desert Storm, the soldiers who've been in Afghanistan for 10 years, the 77 men this morning who took shrapnel when their base was blown up. I wonder if we remember that it is Christ who called you and I not to sit in a chair, but to grab the squirt guns and attack the flames. Because I have a lot of people that are in burning buildings, figuratively. Dear friends, this is my benediction to you. This is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. In other words, to stir your mind by way of remembrance. We live in Never Never Land, by the way. And you know, if you know anything about Peter Pan and Never Never Land, it makes you forget. So may today remind you. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last day, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it is since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment. Let me stop right there. This present world is reserved for fire. You want to know what I am today? As a little boy, welcome to Emergency 51. I'm a fireman. You can call me pastor, but I'm a fireman. I'm here to rescue. That's what it says. I want to be a policeman. There are rules. I'm going to live by them, the Word of God. I still believe in the Ten Commandments. Actually, I believe in the 612 commandments that Moses got. I believe in all of them. And I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. He has recruited me, he has called me, he has redeemed me, and he's armed me with a breastplate of righteousness, with a helmet of salvation, with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of truth. That's who I am. The little boy that played in the backyard sandbox has grown up to be the hero. All of you men, let God set you free to be the hero. Let's finish it. Being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing. Here we go. Do not forget. Are you getting it, guys? Today's a reminder. Dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. And he closes it with this. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Thank you, guys. To those of you in the church that are heroes, thank you. Men, I invite you over the next couple weeks, be the hero that you were born to be. Ladies, we ought to encourage those heroes. He's not much of a hero to me. My dad's not a hero. You don't know what he did, how he... Come back next week. We'll talk a little bit about cheering on our heroes. Let's stand and pray.